Welcome in, time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Corey, guess what? Russia is attacking all over the country. They are the Ukraine. They are bombing Kiev. Not a good situation. Jimmy likens this to the possibility of the beginning of World War III. Jimmy, why do you say that? I don't agree. Why do you say that?
Hold on just a moment. Because the real problem right now is the ineffective leadership of NATO and the United States.
Right.
And let me compare this to, again, I think yesterday in the editorial, in 1912, 1913, 1914, in the buildup to World War I, a small handful of elite monarchical leaders, some of them with parliaments, others with, the Tsar, right. And of course, the Bismarck in Germany, and some of these different players thought that they could manage the crisis.
Right. Well, World War I was supposed to be the war to end all wars, and of course we know that didn't happen. I've read quite a bit about the time frame that you're talking about right now. I would maintain that the main difference right now, and the studio dog seems to agree with me, the main difference right now is that the scale of warfare today is about 1,000 times greater than it was back prior to World War I.
Well, the ability to project power, the lethality of weapon systems, the technology for guidance is stronger, better. Of course, we've got 130 to 150,000 Russian troops that are moving on a much smaller Ukrainian force. Mm. Total capacity of Russians, they carry, about 900,000 active duty military with about 2 million reserves. Ukraine has about 200,000, roughly 100 to 200,000, depending on, conscript, depending on different issues, on active duty, and they've got about 900,000 reserves.
Yeah.
They're severely outmatched with armor, artillery, and of course, air capability. The Russians have moved on Odessa. They've moved into the port. They've moved into airfields around Kiev with airborne forces surrounded them. They are flying bomber aircraft over the capital city. They are bombing and rocketing specific strategic military targets, including ammunition depots. And they are attempting to strangle, to decapitate Ukraine government, as well as limit their ability to conduct offensive operations. Now, what that means is that the border countries that are NATO members, like Slovakia, are absolutely freaking out at what's happening. Germany depended on Russian oil and gas. Many of the Western European countries depended on not only trade, but also on energy supplies. This becomes very problematic for those leaders to accept an authoritarian dictator with no real premise taking over a very large country's capital on their doorstep. Mm-hmm. So you've got countries like Slovakia declaring Article 4 of the NATO Charter, which says prepare and plan for actions. And we do not know how far Putin is willing to go at this point, but he is putting all levels of force into this action. My view on what he's attempting to do is send a very strong signal to anybody even considering expansion of NATO, but more importantly, take away the capability of any Ukrainian defense and then undermine the government so that they come back underneath the Russian sphere.
Yeah.
And that it becomes very problematic. The United States could have stopped this by organizing and coordinating a very bold NATO posture prior to the invasion to say, hey, this is not going to be allowed. and by alerting forces, by cutting off a lot of different issues before the fact, rather than waiting till after the fact with economic, bogus, actually, economic sanctions that are very limited so far in scope. Now, we're going to see a reaction, and this is why I'm concerned about the possibility of expansion. No one wanted the war to expand as it did in World War One. You know, after Giuseppe Princip shot the Archduke Ferdinand, mm-hmm. people still didn't want to see it. It didn't happen overnight. It happened over a period of time. And it's based on really bad decisions and bad politics of people attempting to show their strength and a posture. And that's what I fear is happening right now, because Biden is in such a difficult situation with domestically and internationally that he has not made good military decisions. Afghanistan was very clear with that happening. That's a problem. And then other players like China that are absolutely today taking actions that are really threatening global stability.
Well, my personal opinion here, and I think the studio dog agrees with me, but my personal opinion is this. Number one, we're going to get a psychological breakdown tomorrow on the weekend show of President Biden. President Biden is not an effective president. The United States under the, I would guess I'd say the rule of the Democrats, is not really respected around the world. Putin realizes that. Putin is showing that he is hitching up his pants and he's not screwing around. And I think he's doing that very, very effectively. I think he knows when to stop. I think he can push the United States and NATO a lot farther than he's pushed them so far, because really nothing has happened. The U.S. and NATO, they're not going to go up against Russia. You know that as well as I do, Jimmy. Putin is playing.
Al, I don't know that. And I think you don't either, because, again, this could spiral out of control very rapidly. How about one errant rocket attack that kills a lot of civilians? How about cutting out or shooting down another commercial airliner like they did back just before the Crimea invasion, or just after the Crimea invasion? These things could spin out of control very, very, very quickly. And for people to think that is not possible is very dangerous.
Jimmy, not saying it's not possible. I'm saying I don't think it's likely. I'm saying that Putin is going to know when to stop. So what if an errant missile, an errant Russian missile, goes and kills a whole bunch of people? How many errant American missiles have gone in and killed a whole bunch of people in the Middle East? And what happened there? I think Putin is posturing very effectively right now. The Chinese are not stupid people. They're a nuclear power, but they're not stupid. And the Russians actually are also not stupid. Putin has controlled Russia since the turn of the century. He hasn't been able to do that because he's a dumb guy. He is going to push NATO, and I don't even know why he's concerned about the U.S. Guess how I feel about that? I'm sure you can tell. Putin is going to push the West as far as he possibly can. And then when he realizes it's time to say, oops, I'm sorry, he's going to do it.
Maybe. Or maybe it just spirals out of control. Because, in fact, right now, the Chinese government, the state-affiliated media, is telling Ukrainians to post Chinese flags in order to protect their interests in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. In Ukraine. Yeah. The Chinese military is flying into the air defense intercept zone as we speak in Taiwan.
Okay.
So, again, these are very specific actions that appear to be somewhat coordinated to take advantage of a very weak world leadership. And that is Joe Biden.
Of course, they're calculated actions. And of course, the Democrats have royally screwed up in the sense that the U.S. is not an effective country anymore.
So,
Jimmy,
let's
come back this afternoon once we see how this progresses. I would bet that around 3 o'clock on the West Coast, it'll be a horse of a different color. Any comments?
Yeah, I there's no way. So when you put this type of expense and resources and preparation and training into an operation, you have specific objectives. He's not going to stop because of the politics. He's not going to stop because there is a plan that he is executing, and that plan, very clearly from a military perspective, is to completely decapitate any capacity with the Zelensky government in Ukraine, and to probably to establish his own governance in there that supports him. So his rationale for stopping would be only if he was severely threatened with a strong military force. Is that going to happen? Probably not. So he's going to continue. And there are likely this again, because in the fog of war, people respond, and there is absolute international fear and backlash of what these actions are taking. It's not, people will not act rationally in these situations.
I totally understand. But what's going to stop him, Jim? Pinocchio, Biden? I don't know. I think it's an interesting situation.
No. What my fear is that somebody does. So the UK has put soldiers, special forces soldiers, in Ukraine. What happens if they get killed in the Ukraine? And this is probable, not possible.
Right.
What happens when the refugees right now, which are lining up by the tens of thousands into Slovakia, a NATO member, they have to declare an Article 5 to protect Slovakia.
Right.
These issues become Poland on the border of Belarus, Hungary. These countries know what it's like to be underneath the thumb of a Russian dictatorship.
Right.
And they are not going to stop nor allow it. And they're going to provide support. That means potential escalation. When does it stop? It stops when Putin either has achieved his objectives, which are, again, the land corridor to control Crimea, to back NATO off completely, potentially break it up. And
right.
The third one is in order to take away any possibility of a resurgence of Ukrainian government leadership. That would be my speculation on his objectives.
And
he won't stop until he has some military force that would actually stop that. And we may be dragged into it just because of the alliances. Very similar.
We're not going to get dragged into it. There's no way. The stakes are too high. It's not going to happen. Jimmy, we're up to 11 minutes. Anything else you want to say?
No, but we are already drug into it. We are already there.
Yeah,
so.
Of sorts. Okay, you guys, one of us will be back to you before the end of the day just to kind of bring everybody up to speed 8 or 9 hours from now. Jim, thank you so much.